Again, I apologize for not feeling well. You say, that guy's a sickie. I never used to be, but it seems like the older I get, the more I get that way. And Ronnie Grove, he's the only one I shook hands with today. He said, I don't get sick. I said, well, I hope you don't. That would be wonderful to be like that. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And again, the introduction is those first two verses, verses 12 and 13. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that is no, there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And of course, that's the lie that they perpetrated when the stone was found to be moved away. And I'm sure you've heard this before, but, you know, the stone wasn't moved away so he can get out. The stone was moved away so the people could win and see he wasn't there. He didn't have to have the stone removed, but soldiers were got petrified, and they concocted a story that the disciples came and stole his body. We have a poem at the end we're going to read. I'm sure you will relate to it. You know, if someone came to you and said, how do you know that he resurrected? And I think if we would come up to a consensus here today, we could come up with a lot of good answers. This is one that, to me, is overpowering, which we'll share at the end here. And so let's look at these verses individually. If Christ be not risen, verse 14, first part of verse 14, then is our preaching vain. It's empty, empty of good news. If someone would ask you, give me a description of the gospel, one of the best that you can come up with is found in the beginning of this chapter. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein ye stand, by which also you saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Here it is now. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he did not rise the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the way it would be if Christ didn't rise. We don't have a gospel story. But there's the gospel, beloved. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Of course, there's a lot more that you add to that as you learn from your own Bible study and growing in grace. But that's it. That's why people that think that you're going to go to heaven by their good behavior, this destroys all that. People still want to make their conditions with God and getting into heaven. And it's more powerful in my thinking now than ever because of what's going on in society. But the simple gospel story is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today. It's hard to believe that he hasn't come back yet. There's all kinds of specials on TV, and I like some of those. Not too many, I guess. But it's a special day for Christians to gather together, many in our area. We used to go down to Mosquito Creek Park and try to get there just about sunrise. It was fun, but on some of those days it was really cold. But we did that a few times with different churches and everything back when I was pastor. And so if he has not risen from the dead, we have no message. Preachers have nothing to say. It becomes a gospel of death because he's still in the grave. It's emptied of our good news. Secondly, if Christ be not risen, in third part of verse 14, then your faith is also vain. Vain, empty. It's empty. All that you have received by faith, eternal life, the promise of his presence, a home in heaven, you didn't receive it at all. Your faith has provided you nothing. If he didn't raise from the dead, then forget faith, because it's all geared around believing what he did for us on the cross and then resurrecting. I purposely, because we were down inside the house pretty much since Wednesday, and so I made a pledge to myself to read the four Gospels, not entirely, but starting with the Last Supper and then working your way through the different Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, see what the different writers say. And of course, once you read all those, you can piece the thing all together. It's amazing to me how Christ did what he did and just took it for us. But how do we believe that? One story, as you remember, Thomas wasn't at one of the meetings. Then he came, I think 8 days later, said, "I'll not believe until I touch his hands and put my hand in his side." And then there Jesus appeared 8 days later. And then Jesus invited him. He said, "Go ahead, touch me, Thomas." I don't think he did. I just think he was overwhelmed. I think he fell prone down on his hands and knees before him. He said, "My Lord and my God." But then Jesus said something interesting. He said, "Well, you believe, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've touched me. You could have touched me." He says, "Blessed are those who will believe on me and yet have not had the privilege of what you've done." And see, really, it comes down to that. It comes down to faith. And I know this morning your faith is strong. In the beginning, God, somebody said, if you can believe the first four words of the Bible, then you can make anything in there the way it says it, by faith. No one can really prove God to you or to me. It is a step of faith. We believe with all our hearts. But without faith, beloved, it's your faith is powerless. You can put that word in there, vain. I put the word in powerless in verse 17. It says it again. If Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. Powerless. It says it twice there in two different verses. Here's how it would be if this was happened to be true. John 1:12. But as many as received him, gave he no power to become the sons of God. We become powerless because the source of our power is dead. And Jesus is God. I'm jumping ahead, but as I'm going through this now, it makes me think of what verse 19 says. If none of this really happened, he says, well, then we are most men, or of all men, most miserable. We can't begin to comprehend how that would be like. If Christ be not risen, verse 15, it says false witnesses, but what is a false witness? A liar. If we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. That kind of hits between the eyes. We are actually going out in line for God because it didn't happen. You know what John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the lie, and the truth." That's what we'd have to say. I'm the way, the lie. But that's not what the verse says. It goes on. And this is maybe one of the saddest of all. If Christ be not risen, last part of verse 17, ye are yet in your sins. Boy, that would be, I can't imagine what that would feel like. People today are still in their sins because they have not put their faith and trust in Him.
Matthew 1:21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall keep his people in their sins."
That's what the verse would have to say. This is a Savior.
If Christ be not risen, in verse 18, then the dead in Christ have perished.
It says basically the same thing in verse 16. Let's read both verses. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? Then verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And of course that teaching, sad to say, is becoming more popular all the time. You see where the current Pope is coming out with, they're trying to nail him to the wall here. I think he said it, and he's kind of hedging his bets and trying to do it slowly. The current Pope is trying to push the idea there is no hell. And that is gaining popularity across our country and across the world. This God of love and mercy and grace would never, ever allow anyone to be separated from Him for eternity. And so they're saying, hey, when you die, if you don't know Him, then it's over. You're extinguished. That's not what the Bible teaches, is it?
First Corinthians 5:8, I use this a lot at funerals. I'm sure you've heard it said many times. Absent from the body, but now we'd have to change it. Absent from the Lord.
When we do have loved ones that pass into eternity future, we have the assurance that with the Lord, yeah, there's still sorrow. There's still sadness. But it really takes the sting away. As you know, you're going to see them again. But that would all be gone.
Absent the body, absent from the Lord.
No hope.
No hope. And then, again, verse 19. If Christ be not risen, we are of most. Let me just read the verse.
If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know, it's funny that I'm using this portion of scripture this morning because someone came to me and he said, Pastor Rod, let me ask you a theoretical question. I says, go ahead, shoot.
They says, what if, he said, now just, it's just an imagine. You know, this is not really real. We know that you don't believe that.
Kept on saying that over again.
I said, what if
you're wrong? What if there is no God? What if the Bible is all false? He's kind of going along the scenario of what the scripture's about here. Then I said, finally, I said, well, you know, I don't buy that in a second. But to answer your question, I said, well, if that would be the case, I still had a blessed life. But Paul contradicts that. He said, if you don't have any hope in the Savior and the resurrection, what's before you, and all the promise of heaven, we are all men most miserable. To me, it's almost impossible to try to imagine that, to imagine all the things that Paul is saying about if Christ be not risen in these several examples.
Romans 8:37, we'd have to change this verse. In all these things, we are more than being conquered through Him that loves us. The reason why I'll just wrap it up. Close the church, go home, eat. But as you know, He did raise. And this is why we're here today.
Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And you've heard this before, I've said it before. The resurrection of Christ was the stamp of approval by God the Father that He accepted the sin offering of his son. The resurrection is just as important as the death. If he wouldn't have resurrected, it would have made him one of the biggest liars of all time. But it showed to us that what he did for us on that horrible time on the cross, and where our sin was placed upon him, God the Father accepted it. Now we in time, when we come to that understanding and receive him as the Lord and Savior, then the wonderful news and the conviction in your heart that you're a child of God. Christ is risen, beloved, so our preaching is not vain. Read verses 3 and 4 again. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Praise God. Christ is risen, so our faith is not vain. Let's quote together out of the King James Version, John 3:16. Let's begin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's because Christ is risen. So our faith is not powerless. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the right. And that will be good for time and eternity future. Christ is risen, so we are not liars. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not a lie. It just makes me think a lot why more people don't get saved. I don't understand. Humanly, I just don't understand. Christ is risen, so we are not yet in our sins. Matthew 1:21 again. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Of course, that was talking about the Jewish people, but that was extended to the Gentiles, to the whole world. Whosoever will may come. That's still true today. Christ is risen, so the dead in Christ are alive. A lot of mysteries there. A lot of mysteries, but I firmly believe that when a Christian dies, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You say, well, are they conscious? I think they are. How can they talk without lips in the body? I don't know. There's so many mysteries that we can't understand. What comforts my heart with the loved ones that I've, my wife and I have lost is the fact, absent from the body, present with the Lord. If they're present with the Lord, everything's all right. That's enough. The fact that we'll see him again. Christ is risen, so we are not most miserable. Just the opposite. I said earlier, what would be the one conclusive proof that you and I could provide to people that we come in contact with on how we know that he rose from the dead many, many years ago, and now he's at the right hand of the Father, waiting to come back. How do I know? There's a little poem for you in closing. How do we know that Christ is risen? What proof have I to give? He touched my life one blessed day, and I began to live. How do I know he left the tomb at Easter long ago? I met him just this morning, and my life is all aglow. How do I know that endless life he gained that day for me? His life within is proof enough of immortality. How do I know that Christ still lives, rich blessings to impart? I know it's true because he lives and reigns within my heart. To me, that is one of the strongest proofs that Christianity is all true. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this negative scenario that Paul puts up for the church at Corinth. And we're so, so glad that none of it is true as far as Christ not being risen from the dead. Lord, we thank you for each one here today. We thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you early, as when women went down to try to anoint his body and he was already erased. We're thankful, God, that you're on your throne alongside your Father and preparing a place for your church. Lord, we thank you for each one here today. As I look out over the crowd, in my heart of hearts, I believe all these people know you. And you reign within their hearts. And Lord, that's the most wonderful truth in all of the world. So thank you. Thank you, thank you for what you did for us. In that horrible time before, and all the beatings and everything you went through. And the torture on the cross. Humiliation. God, you gave us a perfect example because you're God. And you did it perfectly. And we're so thankful that your Father accepted what you did for us. So Lord, we're here to thank you, to worship you, praise you, praise you, praise you for resurrection from the dead. So God, just be with the Christians across the world today as the time zones sweep across the United States today. And may you hear the praises of many of your believers, your people, over and over again. And Lord, I don't know if we didn't say anything about it, but I think there's a little breakfast going on, eating. We'll thank the Lord for that right now. And just pray that you'll be with our fellowship, be at the morning worship service, be with Pastor Daniel. He shares the scriptures some more. There's so many things can be said. And Lord, we're so glad, so happy. We know you, and we're going to see you face to face someday. In Christ's name we pray. And all of God's people said, let's all stand together and